Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 8:01. Wednesday, September 22nd. Going to go right to the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in our friend Tom Hart of the SEC Network. Thanks to our friends at Crane Works. Tom, we began this debate a little bit earlier in the show. Best team in the SEC as it stands today, who would that be for you?
Good morning, Cole. Good morning, Greg. Best team today as it stands? It's really hard. My disclaimer is the schedules have not been apples to apples. So weaknesses are more evident with others based on who their opponents have been. Say, for example, Georgia's offense, right? But I think you have a three-way tie for Ole Miss, Alabama, and Georgia right now. We'll see Ole Miss take a leap up in their opponent in 2 weeks. But the way they're executing, Matt Corral has jumped to the front of the line in terms of Heisman favorites. That'll be interesting, Cole. I was just thinking about this morning, and after watching some NFL action, given the body type, the arm strength, the je ne sais quoi, is Matt Corral and Aaron Rodgers clone? Is that something that we start talking about down the road? And I'd love to get Jordan's take on it to see, you know, Are they similar in how they see the game and the physical tools that they come to play with? I think that's an interesting conversation going forward.
I think there are some similarities to their game now. What's ironic is that when Rodgers was in college, he was a robot that was very stiff, very accurate, very stiff, and didn't really become that free-flowing, loose player that we see today until, gosh, you're 4 or 5 in the league. So I can see the similarities now, though, for sure. And it's hard to argue with Matt Corral's effectiveness at the moment. When you think about LSU, you guys were on the call last week. It certainly appears like they have some issues. I thought last week's performance was admirable against a quality Central Michigan team. How would you assess LSU, and what do you think is reasonable for their expectations moving forward?
It's interesting. ESPN has the projected wins over the course of the year, and over their first two games, their win total dropped, I think, by 3. And going into the Central Michigan game, Greg, they weren't favored, according to the computers, against a single SEC opponent. I haven't logged onto the internet and checked that specific predictor, but I know I certainly feel a lot different about them after watching them against Central Michigan. They have so many offensive weapons. Kayshon Boutte is maybe the best wide receiver in the conference and therefore the country. He's really good, but they have freshmen step up that they're now, I feel like they're doing a better job of, and this was their goal, get a play in and run it. Don't get a play in and think about it and check to something else and cause confusion with the young quarterback and allow for a lot of processing. We've got athletes. We've got a good play call. There's no need to be absolutely perfect. Keep it simple. Run the play. So they're putting Boutte in different places and moving him around and getting him the ball more. But what I found is that when defenses load up on Boutte, the freshman wide receivers they have Besh, they have Dion, they have other guys. And they had huge games, and they made every play that was thrown their way. So that was really impressive from an offensive standpoint. I didn't see that through the first couple games, obviously, so they look better. The Andre Anthony injury is concerning because they were just starting to add depth at the defensive end position, and they'll get some guys back. I think they'll be okay there, but that's a big loss for them, a six-year senior, first career touchdown on a scoop and score, then he blows out his knee a couple series later. But no, I feel a lot better about LSU now than I did even on Friday afternoon, Cole and I had some of those conversations about what are we exactly we're going to see tomorrow. And they played with an incredible amount, a great state of urgency. They were physical. Derek Stingley on the first series came up, made a physical tackle, lowered his shoulder, stuck a guy, forced a fumble, scoop and score. And I don't think the points were as important as the attitude and how that permeates from a future first rounder who could choose to protect himself and put himself in front of the team. And maybe there are plays earlier this season that he did. That message obviously got through to Derek Stingley, and he played the way he was capable of playing, and I think that had a ripple effect through the rest of the team.
Tom, we're going to be at Alabama again this week. We've had them once, so I'm just interested, what's on the top of your priority list of what you would like to learn about that team during your time in Tuscaloosa this weekend?
Well, isn't it interesting that we're just talking about LSU's wide receivers and how when Butte is taken out of a play, other guys stepped up, and when that window is open, they come down with the ball and they make big plays. I saw a lot of drops from Alabama receivers Saturday. They obviously don't have the high-end depth that they had at this time last year, but they're still really good. Like, they've got great players at that position. They just need to make some plays, and I know that's a lot further down the list than probably what is on the team checkboard this week. Obviously, you got to do a better job running the ball, and they have to do a better job stopping the run. Like, that's 1A and 1B. What are we going to learn about that this weekend, though, right? I mean, what are we going to learn about that against Southern Miss? I think that's probably the easiest wart to hide against a lower-level opponent that you are more physical than. So extending that, I want to see those wide receivers make plays. I want to see guys outside of Mechie show that they can take some of the pressure off of him.
Well, Tom, you're brought to us each and every week by our friends at Craneworks. We always appreciate your time, but tell them about what Craneworks can do for them.
Yeah, Craneworks has offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville. They have sales reps available to source the right equipment for your job and create a lift plan unique to your project. Don't forget, Craneworks and Rental Works offer sell used equipment. With Rental Works, it's so early, being an authorized dealer for Mustang and Magni. Craneworks can handle rigging and machinery moving projects as well.
Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great day.
Tom Haar comes to you each and every week thanks to our friends at Craneworks, and obviously joins us right there on the Bud Light Hotline. When you think about what you want to try to learn from Alabama this weekend, Greg, we know what Southern Miss is. It's not a great football team this year. Not one that, as in previous years, way back when, had been a dangerous opponent for Alabama a couple of times, but that's not going to happen this weekend. What can we take away? You know, just being somebody that's been in that program, been around that team, played these kind of games, especially maybe after a lackluster performance, what will you, when you put the tape on Sunday morning, be hoping to find out or learn about Alabama during this particular game?
I mean, this game, like the Mercer game, it's like get out and just be in one piece, right? That's the biggest thing. I mean, is there anything that I'm really going to learn from them? Probably not a whole lot. What I would like to see is the downfield vertical passing game start to kind of connect. I would like to see the internal pass rush pick up a little bit, if possible. I would like to see the safeties be a little bit better as far as their coverage and or tackling in the open field is concerned. There's a few things I would absolutely like to see, but as far as what I'm going to learn, probably not a whole lot to learn. You know what I mean? I just think there's advancements that can be made at different positions that haven't been made just yet, but are likely coming here in the weeks to come.
All right. So we asked Tom as well the question, best team in the SEC right this second. Now, that can change next week. It could change tomorrow. It could change 3 weeks from now. It could change 10 more times by the time we get to the end of the season. 800-239-9569. Poll question is up at Mac and Cube. You can always tweet into the show there. Give us your thoughts. Interact with the show. And then, of course, that's brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Should I have included Ole Miss in this discussion?
I wouldn't yet.
Not best team, right? I mean, we know
no
they're
disrespect.
Dangerous.
They haven't played
any problems.
Yeah, they haven't played anybody yet.
Probably the most exciting team in ACC, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not going to be the most difficult team to defend. Perhaps, maybe they. Hey, it wouldn't shock me. I don't know about you. It wouldn't shock me if they beat one of those top teams. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all. If they beat Alabama, I would not be shocked at all. But I still think at this point, I can't justifiably put them in the same category as the aforementioned two.
I don't know. I'm almost shocked when anybody beats Nick Saban just because it happens so rarely. But
right.
It's with what they have and with what Alabama has struggled with defensively at times this year, it does feel like a chance for them to have a lot of success. But we'll find out also how much improved that Ole Miss defense is. 905 votes in, Alabama has 56% of the vote. Zach Dolan says Florida should have been included in that. Zach Simonson tweets in, I think people are underestimating how good that win in the Swamp was. That being said, these two teams are on a tier of their own right now, and nobody's close. Lawrence
Spinks
tweets.
I wouldn't go as far as to say nobody's close. I think Ole Miss is kind of close. I think A&M's still dangerous, man. I think people are sleeping on A&M a little bit. They might be reminded this weekend. But A&M is – people are not giving A&M the credit they deserve. I think they're going to be just fine this weekend with Calzada at quarterback.
All right, Lawrence Spinks tweets in, dogs with that defense. I'm a Bama fan, but this is Georgia's year. Joe tweets in, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, the best three teams in the country. I don't know if I want to have Florida at number three.
No.
But, I think we go back and forget that, you know, there was a time that that game was 14-0 at the half against FAU. And a lot of people were wondering what was happening and what was going on. But we've kind of moved on to that. Eddie Dew tweets in, it's Georgia. It's not even close. While there are some questions about Georgia's offense, there are no questions about their defense. There are serious questions about both Alabama's defense and, yes, their offense. October 2nd will tell us exactly where both teams stand. Royal Payne tweets in, from a psychological perspective, I would rather Georgia be number one and Alabama be number two. If I'm Saban, it creates a different narrative. Am I crazy? I don't think Nick Saban's going to have a conversation about number one, number two, but I kind of see where you're going in that it does give, I don't know, some extra motivation or put a chip on the shoulder of a certain team. I don't know. We'll see. Michael is in Rainbow City. He wants to give us his top team in the SEC. Welcome in, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I had kind of a two-part question, if I could, about the Bama defense.
Okay.
One, what's the status of LeBron Ray? And two, when they're playing more physical teams and physical run game, why don't they change the style of the defense to more physical players? I don't understand why Jalen Moody wouldn't play more in a physical game like that.
Are you just referencing the Florida game in particular?
Yes.
I think it's more of a personnel matchup with what you're getting with them. Like, they're not going to give you a lot of bonus bigs, and therefore you be able to play a ton of base defense. So I think that usually dictates the personnel on the field. And then number two, LeBron Ray played against Florida. I mean, he was in the game. So I'm assuming that he's good to go. He's able to play. Saw him in a couple snaps. So he played.
Yeah, I just didn't see him play a lot of snaps. That's why I was wondering.
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure there's other guys that have just gotten the reps. And so, you know, he's going to kind of have to work his way back up to get reps over Byron Young and Fedarian Mathis and guys like that. I mean, Tim Smith's been there getting reps. DJ Dale's been there getting reps. You know, those guys have been playing. So,
well, I know you see the game better than I do, but it seems like Toa Toa struggles getting off physical blocks with his size as opposed to Jalen Moody.
No, that's never been his strength. I mean, you go back to his time at Tennessee, Greg, and it's one thing I think you and I even talked about when we saw that this was announced that he was going to come to Alabama. He's never been he sticks to blocks on occasion. It's not really his strength. It's not really where he excels. But you know, it's not a new complaint that people would have about his game.
No, and he's not. I mean, we said it from the very beginning. He's more.
Appreciate the call, Michael.
He's more Mac Wilson than he is Reuben Foster, and I think some of the. And it's not that Mac Wilson wasn't a good player. He was a fine player. But he wouldn't be in the top 7 middle linebackers that Alabama's had in the last 15 years. Just wouldn't. Still a good player, but we're talking about some guys that were legitimate game changers. I'm not sure To'o To'o's that at this point. I think he's okay. I think he's actually a little better than I anticipated, to be totally honest. But yeah, he's not going to be one that's just going to wow you with crazy athleticism and instincts and angles, and he's not going to be super quick to evade would-be blockers and things like that. Like, I think he's a solid player, Cole. He's a good signal caller in the middle of the defense, has a good understanding of what they are, and more importantly, he can free Christian Harris up to be the position player that he most needs to be for this team to reach the heights it wants to reach on that side of the football. So
absolutely,
he serves an important purpose, but don't think that he's going to come in and just change who they are defensively. He's not an eraser like some people said he was in the preseason.
Mark and Pelham, this should be good, joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Mark.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
We're great, man. Thanks for calling.
I think after 3 weeks, the season has gone about like what, you know, I basically, Cole, as you know, especially, I've been screaming from the rooftops since last year that if you're ever going to get these big three teams and there's ever going to be a little bit of, you know, everybody kind of on the level, same playing field, this was the year. We lost the number 1 overall pick to one of the teams. We also the number 11 pick and the number 15, 3 first-round quarterbacks, and a lot of big, huge pieces from Ohio State, Clemson, and Bama were leaving. And like I've been saying all along, if you're going to get those three teams and we're going to come back to the pack as a whole in college football, and then not just be the big four or big five, this was the year. And Cole, like I said, you know, I've been screaming that forever. This was the year this was going to happen. So this isn't surprising at all. This is, you know, Clemson, Ohio State with a loss each after week 3. And to be honest with you, I could see them losing a couple more, to be honest, if you know, things don't just go perfect for those teams. They're probably going to lose one or two more. And if Bama stubs their toe along the way, you know, that could definitely happen. But my point is this is not, oh, my God, the world's ending and all this. Like, this was expected, and to me at least, with all the attrition that these teams were facing, this is – and it's good for college football. It's good that Oregon is bringing some, you know, juice to the West Coast. It's good that other teams in the Big Ten, Michigan thinks, my God, Ohio State's right for us this year. May not get them, but they're right for them. Penn State, I mean, this might be their year. So the big four, big five that are just there every single year, especially the big three, this to me was kind of expected, because next year when Stroud's got a year under his belt and DJ's got a year under his belt and Bryce has got a year under his belt as well, I think we're going to be right back to where we were the last couple of years. So I just think that this is a good start for college football, as much as a Bama guy as I am. You know, I would despise a loss. It would kill me. I was about to sweat, you know, the other day thinking about – I started to get hot thinking about, oh, my God, this might be the first loss of the year. But it's good that there were games like that, and it's good that, you know, Ole Miss is going to bring in a challenge in 2 weeks.
But here's the thing. It's also good for Alabama. Like, that's what I think people that – like, all my buddies, they were just like you, man, freaking out. I land from my flight from Miami to Atlanta – I land, and I'm not exaggerating. I had 72 text messages on one group. It's called Bammers, and it was just, it's a full-fledged panic attack. Man, this is the best thing that could happen to Alabama. You wake up, you realize that you are human. You do have to do the little things. You have to respect the opposition. Like, you can't just go out there and, well, we got 5 stars, you got 4 stars, we're going to whip your butt. Doesn't work like that, man. You got to do the little things in order to become the best team you could possibly become. And I think getting a wake-up call without suffering the ultimate disappointment of losing a game is massive. So I think it's great for Bama what transpired last week.
And I think as Bama fans, we need to all of us trust Saban like we do our spouse. we believe in him like he's just the almighty. And then so when you take and you listen to him after a game – We beat Mercer, we beat Southern Miss by 50, and he's just destroying us. We're blah, 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 I mean, just fire and brimstone. We escaped Florida with a 2-point win, and my son was sitting there going, oh, he's going to just lie. This press conference is going to be great. Get your popcorn. And he's like, man, we did a great job, great win today. Like, he knows the heartbeat of that, the pulse of that team. And I'm telling you, he knows better than any of us. So the fact that this team is where it is right now, we're not close to 2020. We're not even in the stratosphere of that team. So we're going to have to eke by if we do win all the games. It's going to be a lot of nail biters like Saturday. And getting out of there with a W, as the guy that we all trust said Saturday, that was a great win, and everything is, you know, now with a lot more teachable moments.
Great stuff, Mark. Always appreciate your insight. Appreciate the call. Look forward to catching up again soon. There's another part of that to what Mark was saying. When you think about next year, I think Corral probably going to be gone, but you could have Will Rogers back. You could have Connor Bazelak back. Max Johnson back. I don't think Will Levis is going to the NFL after this year. He might, but I don't know.
Crazier things have happened.
I don't know if he'd come off the board. KJ Jefferson's going to be back. I mean, I believe Bo Nix will be back year two under Harsin and Bobo. Ken Seals will be back at Vanderbilt. Whoever it is at A&M is going to be back. And I believe it or not, but I mean, Emory Jones could be back at Florida, or if it's Anthony Richardson, we know either one of those guys obviously going to be able to be productive in play. So this conference as a whole could take a massive step from a quarterback perspective, where we went into this year thinking, all right, we know JT Daniels is there. We know what he's all about. We know what Matt Corral's about. We're pretty sure Bryce is going to be great, but we're waiting on all these other guys. And next year it could be, man, we have six or seven legit quarterbacks returning to this league, which, as we know, a lot of times you're going to pull an upset or you're going to have a special season. You've got to have elite quarterback play. I mean, even Tennessee is going to have quarterbacks returning that are going to potentially be able to play and do something different for them. So from a quarterback perspective, next year could be – I mean, it could be totally different and could be kind of cool. So just another facet of sort of where we are this year, like he was bringing up, like Mark brought up and Mark was talking about, and potentially, you know, where we could go next year. We know where we're going – as far as the seasons are concerned, because they're about to change. I loved waking up this morning and looking at Twitter to see this front that's moving in today, tonight, and it's going to dip down into maybe the 40s, and then it's going to be in the 50s every night moving in for the rest of this week, because change is coming. And as football season rolls on, you know changes in the weather are going to be here as well. Protect your HVAC system with a checkup from Trane Comfort Specialist. It'll give you peace of mind for the cooler weather to come. They're the official partner of Jocks, and you can find a comfort specialist near you at Trane.com. And like we say, it's hard to stop a Trane. Georgia, Alabama, another team. You want to throw them in? Who's the best in the SEC today? If you're on hold, hang tight through the break. We'll get to you when we come back on the Bud Light Hotline, and we'll ask that question. Who do you believe is the best team in the Southeastern Conference? More of that next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning, 8:29 a.m. It is Wednesday, September 22nd. Talking best team in the SEC, and one thing I thought about when somebody threw out Ole Miss, Greg, is what are we going to do if Ole Miss is, say, one lost team at the end of the season? What if they go down to Alabama and they win out? What if we flipped that? Because I think a lot of people right there would say, well, Ole Miss will be A&M last year, and it's kind of not going to be enough. Right. What if you reverse that? Because then I think you have a completely different conversation. What if Ole Miss ran the table? Alabama's only loss was Ole Miss. Ole Miss, Georgia, SEC championship game.
Well, first of all, if it's their only loss is the SEC championship game, I think the possibility of them getting in would be pretty dang high, especially with the head-to-head against, say, Alabama. It'd be massive. But when you take that into account, and I know where you're going with this, in the three SEC team scenario in the college football playoff, it'll never happen. Now, no matter what, they can tell me all day long until they're blue in the face, well, hey, it's about the four best teams. Four best teams. No, it's not. I mean, it's not. Because you can't justify, even I, as someone that respects and acknowledges the greatness of this league at the moment. I think it's a really good league. And you know me, I'm gonna be honest. If I didn't think it was very good, I would tell you. I really would. I think it's really, really good right now. And I would also say, go as far as to say, that it is still, at this point,
difficult for me to anticipate what could be a Big Ten champion a la, say, Penn State. If they win the Big Ten, I wouldn't pick them on a neutral field against Ole Miss. Not at the moment, I wouldn't. They took Auburn, took 60 minutes for them to put Auburn away, and I think Auburn's the fifth or sixth best team in the SEC West. So I'm not totally sold on what's going on in other leagues, but if you think that 13-member college football playoff committee would ever be in a situation to have three teams from one league in the college football playoff, you're dreaming. It ain't going to happen. Two at most, and even that would require other teams and other leagues to fall flat on their face.
800-239-9569. Get your thoughts on best team in the SEC. Richard wants to chime in. Welcome into the show, Richard.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So if you're this game, you're talking, you pick Georgia over Alabama right now as the best team, but I assume the coaching staffs are going to allow to coach the players. And where's this game being played? Because Alabama hasn't lost in Atlanta since 2008. And Alabama is 32-0 against the SEC East. And Alabama has two NFL coaches from last year on their staff. So I assume you've got to factor that in.
I think all those things are reasonable, but also, I mean, who would you say is playing better right now? You could give me all those reasons. Who do you think is playing better right now?
Alabama is playing better because look, you can tear apart Georgia's win over Clemson easily now. Easily. Because look what Clemson's done since then, all right? And what they did against Georgia Tech. And you can also say that Georgia's win over South Carolina isn't very impressive as well. But Alabama went into the swamp in very hostile environment and had to survive adversity and found a way to get it done. And I think that Florida team's legit. And we know that from last year too. So I just think that Alabama, I mean, they made it look easy against Miami. And they made, and they just messed around with Murray. So I think Alabama.
Well, again, you just played the game of what has Clemson been since that win? What has Miami been since that win?
Oh, Miami's been terrible since then as well. But I just think Alabama is. But
you just got to play the game ways if you're going to play that game. You got.
Yes, but I mean, but there's just nothing. There's nothing in history that would indicate. I mean, how many years has Alabama beat Georgia in a row? There's just nothing to go off of this season so far or history to indicate Georgia or Ole Miss could beat Alabama right now because Alabama would allow to scheme for them and game plan for them. And depending on where he's going to play, and Alabama loves to play on artificial turf, things like that too, or at home, that kind of thing. So I just think that Alabama still is the best team. I honestly think Alabama would win that game, But hey, Greg, you there?
Yes, sir.
If you could unblock me on Twitter, I would appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. Have a great day.
I don't even know who Richard is, so I can't say that I've blocked him and or unblocked him. If he got blocked, it's probably for a good reason.
Greg, why does Alabama love playing on artificial turf?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Yeah, we have grass at Bryant, Denny. If we really liked playing on artificial turf, I think Alabama, frankly, has an advantage over just about everybody they play on whatever surface they play. It doesn't matter. I don't know if artificial turf necessarily leads to a better performance, because if it did, I can promise you what Nick Saban would have installed tomorrow at Bryant-Denny. I don't know if I'm as on board with that. I do think, however, that it would be a really good matchup. I mean, I'm not against anything Richard said in regards to the historical significance of Alabama's dominance over SEC opponents. I know all their significance of how they've played in Atlanta, all that other stuff. The reality is, if I'm watching the team, I don't care about 2008, 9, 10, 11, 14, 15, 16, etc. I'm watching this year's version of Alabama. I'm watching this year's version of Georgia. And through three games, I've been a little bit more impressed with what Georgia's done, especially on the defensive side of the football. That defensive line can destroy you. I think Alabama's excellent, obviously. I think if they're not number one, they're at worst number two. Completely on board with all of that. However, if they played today in a neutral site with no fans in the stands whatsoever, right now Georgia's playing just a little bit better. Doesn't mean that Alabama won't catch them. Just saying, I would have Georgia slightly favored in that game if I were to handicap it.
I didn't even really push the discussion into the two teams playing one another. I was thinking if you're ranking SEC teams, who's the best team in the SEC right now? But Obviously, there are a lot of different factors if you're going to begin to talk about the actual matchup and how those teams would be if they faced off against one another. If you're going historical significance, I don't know how you completely throw out Ole Miss when in 14 and 15 that they won. I mean, can that not even be brought up if you're going historical significance? So I don't know how. I mean, it's hard for me. 20, that's... 35, 10, 15 years ago has anything to do with teams are going to play today. I mean, that's...
Oh, it doesn't. I don't think historical significance matters whatsoever, but I also don't think... I mean, I don't think it's fair to compare today's Georgia against 2014 or 15's Ole Miss versus 2008's Florida's. I just don't think there's anything to do. Look at the team. Tell me Alabama didn't show some vulnerabilities last week. Tell me they won't get those things addressed, too. I mean, I've seen Alabama look vulnerable in the past. Gosh, they gave up a billion yards to Ole Miss last year, and guess what? Come Mississippi State in the last four games of last season, outside of the Florida game, the defense is playing pretty good football. So I'm not going to sit here and start panicking and start thinking, oh, well, there's no way that Alabama's going to get these things solved. No, they just – and now know where they might have a couple weaknesses, and now you can do what you can from a game plan perspective, Cole, to make sure that those weaknesses don't get you beat. I think last week was a great thing for Alabama, and hopefully they'll be able to learn from it.
Well, you mentioned that you're not gonna judge a team by what they were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. As we move on in the season, I'm not gonna judge a team what they were in week one, two, or three versus what they are in week eight, nine, ten.
Correct.
Because how many times have we seen teams sort of stub their toe out of the gate?
Oh my gosh.
And not look impressive, and then all of a sudden, I mean, did 2010 Auburn look impressive against Mississippi State in Starkville?
How about 2014 Ohio State that got all they wanted from Navy and then lost badly to Virginia Tech the next week, a 6-6 Virginia Tech team, only to win 13 straight in the national championship?
So I'm not even gonna take – I mean, obviously you still take the resume, but as far as just how a team looks, how a team's playing, I mean, I don't even know if Georgia's the same team right now they were against Clemson. I don't even know if Alabama's the same team they were against Miami. That's the beauty of moving on week to week is you do make those adjustments. You try to correct things. You try to get better in certain areas. You change things that you call. You take things out. You put things in. You try to attach things to what you do. And then, obviously, different players are going to have different roles. You know, certain guys are banged up. Certain guys lost for the season. That's kind of how it goes. You have to adjust and move on and try to make the best of what you got or what you are at that point in time. So it's, I mean, listen, we could sit there and go with who they've played and what they've done. How you could say the South Carolina win's not impressive. I mean, they held South Carolina at 82 yards rushing. That was a team that had four starters back on that offensive line and one of the best running backs in the SEC coming back with another running back that everybody said was better than him. Pretty good group of tight ends. They went for 2.4 per carry on the ground. Outgained them 491 to 296. I don't know what's not. I mean, it's an SEC team that they demolished. I'm not saying South Carolina is a top-tier SEC team, but they smashed them. JT Daniels looked great. 303 and three touchdowns. Throwing beautiful balls down the field. So to just discount that and say, well, it's not impressive. When we can say that didn't look good. There were a lot that I liked when I put the film on and watched it. So there's a lot to like about what Alabama did against Florida when you put it on. It's just, you know, it looked a little bit different because, yes, Florida is a better team than South Carolina. None of us are going to debate that. But we can't continue the conversation of best team in the SEC. We'll continue rolling that along. But if you're rolling along on Cahaba Valley Road, don't forget to check out my friends at Backyard Adventures. If you need a playground in your backyard, you got a birthday coming up for one of your kids, Christmas now, not too far away. I think we're under 100 days. So if you're looking for that big Christmas gift for the kids, maybe you want to put a playground in the backyard. My wife was in search for a playground for over a month. Couldn't find anything that we liked from the big box stores. Knew that I wasn't going to get out there and put it together. Finally, she came across Backyard Adventures. We were able to go out to Cahaba Valley Road. The kids could climb, swing, slide on all the different options that they had right there, already put together. And then we decided what we wanted because you can customize the playground for your children. Backyard Adventures will come out and measure your backyard. They'll give you a 3D printout of how it's going to look, and then you select exactly what options that you want between rock walls, slides, ladders, swings, anything. And then you get exactly what the kids want in your backyard. And the best part is Jeff and the guys come and put it together for you. That's right. No assembly from you at all, thanks to my friends at Backyard Adventures. Warranty going to last a lifetime. If you move, they'll move it for you. And they even host birthday parties right there at Backyard Adventures. They have a party coordinator that can help you set that up. Visit BackyardAlabama.com or call 408-4FUN. That's 408-4FUN. Quarterback controversies continue in college football. That discussion next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network coming up in 13 minutes. Well, ask Dave who he thinks the best team in the Big Ten is. That seemed to be the other questionable conference as opposed to the SEC. Felt like the rest of the Power Five, we were pretty good on which direction we could go. But a quarterback issue happening out in the Pac-12, Greg, this is a little bit odd just based on sort of how things have happened the last few years. Charlie Brewer has left the Utah football team. Now, Charlie Brewer obviously had some success at Baylor, looked pretty good there. Jake Bentley's at Utah. Jake Bentley leaves Utah. Cam Rising looks like he's going to be the next guy. Charlie Brewer comes in, and Charlie Brewer earns the start initially. Charlie Brewer gets benched against San Diego State after going 14-26, 104 on interception. And then Cam Rising comes in, throws three touchdowns just on 19-32, and now Charlie Brewer's out. Kind of a similar situation that we've seen before, but obviously – I think Charlie Brewer's going to be able to redshirt this year, save that year, and then go play somewhere else. But, man, I hate seeing guys leave in the middle of the season. And
yeah,
especially when something like this happens and, oh, if things didn't go my way, then I'm out. And I just wonder, too, what other coaches want Charlie Brewer to come play for them? I mean, you had a coaching change at Baylor, so that's a little more understandable. But I don't think there was going to be a debate if he was going to be the starter. And then all of a sudden, you go to Utah, you lose your job, and, you know, you're out. Unless he's being recruited by somebody this entire time anyway, and, you know, he thinks he can be guaranteed something. It's just, it feels like an odd situation.
Well, here's the thing is, how are you going to be willing as a head coach, unless you're at a lower level, a lower tier program, how are you going to be willing to say, hey, man, we need to invest reps, valuable reps in the spring, summer, and fall camp, and this guy – because at the first sign of adversity, he could leave us at the altar the rest of the season to go. Like, we're not going to waste that time. Like, I wouldn't touch him. I don't know the specifics of what went on, whether or not he was promised things, whether or not things, you know, were outside of his control. I'm not going to waste a lot of time, you know, dealing in the specifics of what went down. All I know is that this young man has transferred now not once, but twice. And really at neither place outside of 1 year at Baylor did he look like a guy that could really elevate a program. So I hate it for him. I hope he finds a place he wants to go. But I would also think that if his ultimate goal is to play in the NFL, which I'm assuming it probably is, probably not the best way of handling this situation. But I understand protecting the red shirt. If he wants to go somewhere else, then good luck to him.
Yeah, you just got a year back, obviously, so you're not going to have to worry about that. And then your team's played three football games, and now you bail on them. That's the part to me that I struggle to understand. Everybody has their own circumstance. Everybody's trying to watch out for themselves and take care of their situation. And
right.
You know, obviously, want to save their year to be able to compete, but doesn't seem to be a lot of adversity that a lot of guys are overcoming when they make decisions like this. And it's just I hate to see it. A lot of football left for Utah this year. Who knows what could have happened? Who knows what you could have done? Who knows what you could have learned? And you're just going to say, I'm out. They can deal with it. And I know Coach Whittingham can be tough on his players. I mean, he's a guy that is – he's a hard-nosed coach. But it's one of the reasons he's been successful at the same time. So – now Utah's lost consecutive games at BYU, at San Diego State, and they get Washington State this weekend. They're 1-2 on the year, a team that I thought would be able to put together a pretty good season in the Pac-12, and it just doesn't look like it's going to go that way. They still have UCLA. They still have Oregon. They're at USC. I don't know. We'll see. But it's just, it feels like more situations like this are popping up, Greg, and I don't like them, but guys are going to do what they're going to do. I mean, it's, and just the fact that they've juggled guys here over the last year and a half, 2 years with, you know, Bentley, Rising Brewer. Now you've had multiple guys come in, go out, and you just wonder what's, if you're another quarterback, you have to see some of those things and say, all right, what's, something's happening here at this position. Do I want to be involved in that? And I don't, I mean, obviously those are questions you ask in recruiting, but it seems like an odd situation either way.
It does. And it's one of those situations where you're almost uncomfortable talking about it because you don't know the specifics of what is going on, right?
Right.
And it's always, well, he said versus, you know, and it's hearsay and it's this. And it's, I don't like the he said, she said battle. It's just not my thing. Now, obviously, a player was uncomfortable. The realities are it looks bad on the player. But there might be more to the story. So you got to be cognizant of that. But at the same time, man, anytime a guy's transferred a couple times, it makes you a little anxious. Like, so if I had my own program, I'd be a little less willing to bring a guy in that had been at a few spots and it didn't work out.
Well, don't let that anxiety get you down, because you've got your CBD store. Four locations. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver. Trussell just off 459 and now downtown at Five Points. So if anxiety is an issue for you, or maybe even your pet, if it's arthritis that's an issue for you or your pet, your CBD store now has broad spectrum mango CBG gummies, blueberry CBN gummies that can help you out with a lot of different physical ailments that you might be dealing with. Or if it's just waking up and feeling better in the morning or getting a better night's sleep, they have new products arriving in weekly that can help you and maybe help one of the loved ones in your life deal with certain situations. The largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world, they focus their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. And there are hundreds of extracts and plants that they can choose from. And they work hard to find the ones that will work best for you. And they study the different effects that those extracts can have. First company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. That's right. They've got the stamp seal on every product that they have right there in store. So go check them out. See what they can do for you today. Wonderful customer service at all those locations I mentioned. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by Cajun Cleaver, Trustful just off 459 and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store where good health hits home. We look to now outside of the Pac-12 as we sort of begin to get into conference play. We saw UCLA go down over the weekend. Obviously, Oregon had Stony Brook, so we weren't going to learn much from that game. And now you get Oregon's going to play Arizona again, a team that hadn't won a game. So I don't know how much more we learn about Oregon this week, Greg. And it's one of those teams that I want to know how good you are. I want to know that you deserve to be mentioned with some of these other teams that we're talking about, whether it's Alabama, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Iowa, whoever it is, when we're talking about the playoff. And I understand running the table, maybe winning your conference, but I just wonder how many real tests we're going to have in front of Mario Cristobal's team the rest of the year for us to actually learn how good they really are.
Do they need one, though? Because it seems like they got their ticket punched as long as they take care of business.
I'm not even referencing like getting in, but just like me personally. I want to know how good you are. Yeah, and the Fresno win's a really good win. No one's going to talk about it, but it's actually
getting better.
It's a good win. The Ohio State win, great win, but we're going to have to go all the way down to UCLA on October 23rd to maybe find out again, are you a great team? Will Washington or Utah on the road even teach us if they're a great team? I just don't know if we're going to get it about Oregon too many more times for the rest of the season. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't be in the playoff discussion or maybe even in the playoff. It's just don't know how many more of those games we have in front of us to potentially learn about that football team. A lot to learn about the Big Ten because there is a logjam at the top of both divisions, and the debate of who is the best team in that conference continues as Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network is with us next.